Welcome back. Last time, you may remember, Jacob decided it was time to take his two wives and his two concubines and all the children he had accumulated with the four of them and all the livestock he had earned while working for his father-in-law, Laban, and head back to his home country. But he didn't bother to tell Laban beforehand because things had gotten kind of tense between them. We'll pick up the story in Genesis chapter 31, verse 22. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, by this time, dreams, the Zoom meetings of the gods, dreams, had become the primary means of communication between the Yahwehlians and the Earthmen. In-person contacts had become less frequent, although they still happen from time to time, and we'll see a couple of those later in this episode. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now, Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Now, if you were here last time, you'll remember that Laban's younger daughter, Rachel, Jacob's second wife, had absconded with her daddy's household idols, and that's what he's talking about here. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I said, Peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Now when she says, I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me, she means she was on the rag. And if she stood up, it would gross him out, because I guess they hadn't invented tampons yet. Acting like she's bleeding all over the camel's furniture where she's got the idols hidden. And I think it was furniture, more elaborate than a saddle, although some translations do say saddle instead of furniture. It would look pretty fishy for her to be sitting in her tent on a saddle, presumably with the idols tucked away in her saddlebags. But, you know, it was less fishy for her to be sitting on actual furniture with a, you know, probably a flat padded seat and kind of with a hidden hinge. You could lift it up to reveal a secret compartment underneath. And you've seen things like this before, if you think about it. If not on camels, then on elephants, Indian elephants especially. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. They've not miscarried, in other words. And the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto the children which they have borne? Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. A monolith, in other words, it used as a marker or a memorial. And Jacob said unto his brethren, Gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Yager Sahadutha. But Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, This heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. Now, these place names like this have meanings in Hebrew. That long name that Laban called it means heap of stones of the testimony. But Jacob's name, Galeed, is more succinct, meaning witness pile. So Galeed is what they went with. And Mizpah, for he said, The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. In other words, I may not be here to see it if you mistreat my daughters, but the Yahwehlians will, so you better behave yourself. And Laban said to Jacob, Behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. So they're setting up a demilitarized zone between their territories. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. Now, you might think that's a strange thing to say, that he swore by the fear of his father Isaac. But remember, God, or a God anyway, had told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham would have done it if a replacement hadn't been provided at the last second. So the fear of Isaac was the fear of a God that, you know, could have him killed by his own father without blinking. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Now we're up to chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated as angels here is malachim, which literally means messengers. And at least 3 translations of the Bible actually say messengers instead of angels. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Now here, the Hebrew word that is translated as host is Machana, which literally means camp or encampment, which is why Jacob named the place Mahanaim, which is the plural of camp, because there were two camps here, his own camp and the camp of the gods. So instead of saying he was met by angels from God's host, which makes it sound all spooky and supernatural, we might more literally say that he was met by some emissaries from the Yahwehian encampment. And that's a lot more common sense interpretation, I think. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now here, Malachim actually gets translated as messengers instead of angels, because here it's Jacob sending out messengers instead of God. Now, I'm pretty sure Jacob's messengers didn't have wings and halos, so why would we assume that God's messengers did? And why would we assume that they were the messengers of God with a capital G, when the Hebrew word that is translated as God here is Elohim, which is technically plural? It's that im sound at the end that makes it plural. Malachim means more than one malach, or messenger. Mahanaim means more than one mahana, or encampment. Elohim means more than one El, more than one God. So instead of saying that they were the angels of God, it would be more literally correct to say that they were messengers from the gods. And he commanded them, Jacob commanded his messengers, that is, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in my sight." Now, the "my lord" he's talking about is Esau in this case. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Well, that sounds ominous. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." So at this point, he's just hoping not to get totally wiped out by the 400 men that Esau is bringing. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother: 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present which goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, you know, some of whom were by the women servants, by the way, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, notice it says he wrestled with a man, not an angel, not God. And in fact, the Hebrew word translated as man is a masculine singular noun, unlike the masculine plural noun that is usually translated as God. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now these he and him pronouns get a bit ambiguous here, but it was the unknown man that wanted to go, and it was Jacob that wouldn't let him unless the man first gave his blessing to Jacob. So by this time he'd figured out that this was not just some homeless drifter trying to mug him. It was a god, a Yahwehian, you know, with some power, and so his blessing would be worth something. Since the day was just breaking, he probably just got his first good look at him and spotted the telltale Yahwehian racial characteristics, whatever those were, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure why the Yahwehian had to go because the sun was coming up either. Maybe he had to get back to camp for a roll call or something. I don't think he was a vampire, you know, so that he had to avoid the sunlight or anything. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, by now you have probably figured out that when it says thou hast power with God and with men, he's really saying you can hold your own in a tussle with both Yahwehians and earthmen. Now, it's pretty obvious that he could not have held his own against an omnipotent God who would, he'd have done a lot more to him than just dislocate his hip. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. So he wouldn't tell him his name, but he did give him his blessing. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Peniel, or Penuel, means face of God. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He was kind of gimpy where his hip had been dislocated. You know, he was limping, in other words. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Well, I don't know what to think about that. There are a lot of folk tales that end with, and that's why to this day, you know, such and such. I think some scribe or copyist who happened to like that kind of story probably stuck that last verse in there. Now we're up to chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Well, that's kind of a relief. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Now when he says "in the sight of my Lord," he means in the sight of Esau, not in the sight of God, just as he did before. The word "Lord" is not capitalized here, as it is when it refers to the Lord. And, you know, there's a good reason for that. It's a totally different word in Hebrew. It's Adonai, a title of respect, not Yahweh, which is the proper name of a particular god or group of gods, I think. And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found some grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Said, "Well, if you insist." And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." Now, saying the children are tender is the same as saying the children are weak. You might remember last episode when it said Leah was tender-eyed. It really meant she had weak eyes, and her eyes looked weak. "Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." You know, for somebody who could fight, you know, both humans and Yahwehlians to a standstill, he seems to be kind of intimidated by his big hairy brother and is sucking up to it. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan-Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field, where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Now, some translations say 100 pieces of money. Some say 100 pieces of silver. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. Now we're to chapter 34. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Needless to say, you would think. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, Because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. They said unto him, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent to you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. It sounds like they kind of had forgotten why they started getting circumcised to start with, which, you know, I think was just for health purposes. Because they, you know, they didn't wash down there regularly, thoroughly. And by this time, they'd started thinking of circumcision as some sort of religious ritual. Or maybe they hadn't forgotten. I don't know. They may have just been pretending so Hamor would go along with it. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor, and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of the city, saying, These men are peaceable with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. That's the ticket, you know. All we got to do is submit to genital mutilation. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son, hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. You know, in other words, they implemented a circumcision passport. History doesn't exactly repeat itself, but it does kind of rhyme sometimes. Well, we're about out of time. We'll pick it up from this point next time. So until then, keep the faith, but try not to mutilate yourself doing it.